Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Yes, we had angry Blues fans at Marvel, thrillers on the Gold Coast. There were melees at the G. Dacos was tagged, Pies sick of the dirty hits. Taranto flies and Bontempelli shines. Welcome to the Footy Podcast. My name is Will Hogan, and today on the show, we'll talk trade news with John Ralph, take a walk down Media Street with Scott Gullen. But first, we'll talk about the booing of Lance Franklin between Sydney and Collingwood at the MCG on Sunday. We're joined by the Herald Sun's John Ralph. Ralphie, thanks for joining on the pod again.
Thank you very much.
Now, it was a fiery game on Sunday. There was a lot going on. You know, the Nick Dacos, as we mentioned before. But the booing ended up being the big story out of the game, of course, with Lance Franklin. And it did really hit the note yesterday, all day. There was statements and comments and reactions from lots of different people. Where do you stand now after a day of sort of this inferno of discussion? Mm-hmm. Where does that leave us as a football community?
Will, I just want to ask a question to answer a question. Yep. You're a full-blown Melbourne Nuffy. How often have you
allegedly
booed? How often have you booed back through the Mark Neild era, or through the Neil Craig assistant coach era, or through the 186-point defeat at GMHBA Stadium?
Oh,
how often
goodness.
Have you booed?
Look, I can't say that I haven't, because yep. I probably have. I'm not a per se a booer. But yes, I've clearly definitely booed at some stage. Yeah. I put my hand up.
So that's the context for me. I mean, I sit there with my, you know, accreditation, and I sit up in the nice seats there behind glass sometimes, and sometimes even in the corporate box. So I don't ever want to be the person that tells people don't boo, because I can absolutely understand that Jason Horne-Francis is going to get booed, and he should get booed by North Melbourne fans because they feel like he deserted them. I'm not sure it was the courageous decision, as Ken Hinckley said. I think that he should have stuck it out for a year. So that's the context. Here's the really important part. Sydney have now called it out yep. as what they believe to be a recurrence of the Adam Goode saga.
Yep.
They said, you know, we've been here before. We're not learning lessons of the past. So I would say, number one lesson in football barracking, don't be racist.
Yep.
Number two lesson, if someone thinks that you booing might just give you a 1% chance to be tarred as a racist, don't boo. So I totally understand a lot of those people out there that think it's woke or a different agenda or whatever it is. But now it's explicitly being called out for Buddy Franklin, the champion of the game. Don't bloody boo. And I think that's really easy lesson to follow.
And we touched on the statement. So obviously Collingwood were strong, and we can sort of understand that given, you know, the new leadership and
yep.
have shown in different paths, especially within racism, they're going to be on the front foot. Gillon McLachlan was interesting. Explain, did you think he acted decisively yesterday?
Yeah, I thought he did. And some people would say, why, given that he was so slow on the Adam Goode saga? Well, I think that's exactly the reason. I mean, there's not much that can tarnish the legacy now of this, what, nearly 10-year CEO-ship. Quite clearly, the significant issue that he had to deal with, that he failed to deal with, was Adam Goode's. And so imagine if this turns into a full-blown raging inferno, you know, booing every week for the greatest, you know, champion we've seen in the modern era, and Gill didn't act quickly on it. So that's why he's so quick. He knows that he can't necessarily stop people from booing, but he can handle his own reaction. And I thought it was just really smart. Thought the other thing that Collingwood did really well, and I know they were a bit unsure of how it would go, is that not calling on, you know, not a unworded, not a statement like Sydney, just a general statement. They brought their captain in Darcy Moore, who was just doing extraordinary things in terms of his leadership, and Fly McRae, and of course Craig Kelly, their CEO. So the three pillars of their club, but two of them were just massively popular. So there'll be fans that'll boo, but I think, you know, you don't have to stand up and cheer Buddy Franklin every single game. But if someone's booing at, you know, one of those Indigenous players, you just turn your head and say, pull your head in. Oh, I think that's not too much to ask. There'll always be some booing the game, but not for Indigenous players, given that Adam Goode's, one of the great champions of the game, was literally driven out of football by what he saw to be racist booing.
The following segment contains discussion around suicide and mental health battles, which some listeners may find confronting.
Now, we might change tack just a little bit. So we're speaking as of Tuesday morning, and in today's Tuesday Herald Sun, there was a
a very powerful and confronting feature about ex-Sandringham VFL footballer Adrian McKenzie,
yep.
who sadly took his own life in 2021. Ralph, you spoke to his sisters.
Yep.
And they sort of revealed that he was the fifth footballer to be diagnosed with CTE, but the first non-AFL professional footballer. Talk us through how hard that story was to write and talk to these people.
Yeah, I think probably more to the point for them to tell their story. You know, obviously everyone knew that he had passed away back in May 2021. So, you know, the issue for them and why they were so keen to tell a story was that he had said to them, look, I think I've got CTE. You know, I'm not depressed. You know, I haven't got mental health issues. I just feel like my brain's broken. He mentioned that to them a few times before he took his own life. And the issue for those, for the sisters, Anthony and Bryony, is that he was never asked about it by his medical practitioners. And they feel like that would have been, as they said, a lifeline for him. Okay, I can tell what's wrong with me. I might be able to mitigate it. I might be able to do some brain exercises. I might be able to, you know, in the cutting edge advances of science, I might be able to fix myself. And because he could never get that clarity, in the end, the anxiety took him, you know, that tiger, you know, clawing in his chest, as he so evocatively described it. And so what they would say, and what Michael Buckland, the Australian Sports Brain Bank boss would say, is that probably AFL players are more susceptible to it because they probably get more higher knocks at a greater velocity. But there's probably 100 times the footballers out there who might be susceptible to CTE and might have it. And so I think their call to arms is to say, let's put policies in place to try and reduce the number of head knocks. But more to the point, just be aware of it. You know, if it is that, you know, you have some of these symptoms, which can be, you know, crushing anxiety, which can be, you know, the lack of sleep, which can be chronic headaches, say to your doctor, hey, do you think this might be it? So obviously we're trying to find a cure for these things and trying to find tests before you pass away, because yep. right now you can only diagnose CTE when you pass away. But even for some people out there, that might just be an answer, because we know often so many people, just knowing what's wrong within them can be something that might really help them in their treatment.
And why did they want to tell their stories? Was it part of it just to share the message of this is what happened to their brother?
Yeah, they also want more people to donate brains to the brain bank. And yeah. so for them, I think they'd, he passed away and they thought it was too late. And then they finally emailed the brain bank and they said, no, you can still donate that brain. Right. So the more brains we get, the more sample size we get. And the really, you know, chilling statistic, as Michael Buckland said, is that he's examined about 1,500 brains. But of the 60 brains as part of this sports brain bank, something like 55% of them have CTE. And half of those that have CTE have killed themselves. And so if we can get a bigger sample size, then the AFL will take this more seriously, because they keep saying, well, you know, are these people with CTE, did they have issues like mental health issues? Did they have, you know, drug and alcohol problems? So the bigger sample size we can have, the more the AFL will take this seriously. They're kicking in, I think it's $25 million over 10 years for a longitudinal study. And as Michael says, that's fantastic if they do it the right way. But if they're just kicking the can down the road and saying, well, we now acknowledge CTE, but, yeah, you know, it's a bit vague and we don't really take it as seriously as we might, you know, if we can get a really definitive causation, then maybe we'll just reduce the amount of training of head knocks in concussion, you know, the amount of contact, the amount of contact drills within junior football.
Yep.
You know, we see it in the NFL, you know, there's only a certain amount of contact training. So the more times we reduce concussive and subconcussive issues, it might just prolong someone's career. And we also need better technology. As Michael said, you know, these mouth guards that actually can detect how many hits you get. It may well be that, you know, you have enough of those hits and enough of those recorded hits that you just say, I'm going to retire at 28, not 35. And that might save your quality of life for the next 50 years.
And for those who haven't read it, I urge you to go to the Herald Sun website to read Ralphie's story about Adrian McKenzie. Ralphie, stay with us. We're going to talk trade when we get back from the break.
I'm Andrew Rule. I try to shine a light in dark places and tell honest stories about dishonest people. If you like sunny stories about shady folks, join me for my podcast, Life and Crimes. It's available from Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your fix.
Ralphie, trade, it's heating up. We're getting closer to that trade period. Now, you want to talk about the three free agents out there
mm-hmm.
that are hot.
I want to talk about the three free agents out there that are about to get filthy rich.
Filthy rich.
Now, what's the definition of filthy rich? I'd say $750,000 via 5 years is filthy rich.
Jeez, it depends on that. We're in a recession. I think anything's good at the moment.
No, that's very good. No, that's very true. And so some of them, I think, will deserve it. Some of them deserve to get filthy rich, and some of them will get filthy rich because they're free agents.
Yeah.
We've seen it before. Marby Achol got 475,000 times, I think 4 years, because he was a free agent. He'd been delisted before. Rory Atkins.
5 year.
5 years at something like 450. Brandon Ellis. I think it was 5 years at $6 million. 5 years at $3 million in total, 600 years. And so when you have that asterisk, that free agency tag, especially if you're a restricted free agent, we might talk about one of those down the track, an unrestricted free agent, you can get filthy rich. So the first one, Harry Himmelberg.
Okay.
What sort of year do you think he's had?
A very good year.
You look back at it, though. So he hasn't taken an intercept mark because he's played mostly forward. Only 10 goals.
Right.
Lots of big moments. You know, won the Hawthorn game, touched on the line, the huge, you know, steepling mark and goal.
He's rucking a fair bit.
So I think the reason that he can get filthy rich is because the two clubs that are really chasing him strongly. Sam Landsberger revealed, I think, last week that Richmond had sat down with him. We know that I put in the paper a few months back that Sydney's very keen.
Yeah. So they're the two clubs?
They're two of the clubs. When you're a free agent, everyone's calling
you. Surely there's more.
Exactly. They're two at the front of the queue. There's probably 10 clubs interested. You look at Richmond right now. So Jack Rewald, I think we all would acknowledge he's going to retire at the end of the year. You look at their defensive stocks. Noah Bolter, he's so athletic. We keep saying that. He gets a lot of goals kicked on him.
Yeah.
Gibcus is coming back from a serious hamstring issue, but we think he'll be a really good player, but we're not sure.
Tarrant's the other one.
He probably retires at the end of the year. I think we've just seen that they're a bit more vulnerable down back. Up forward, we love Tom Lynch, but he does hamstrings. Now he's got a foot surgery. He's not as resilient as he might be, and probably going forward, he might not be that resilient. You slot Harry Himmelberg in. He plays forward. He plays back. He's a free agent at a club that is about to give away a number one pick, which right now is pick four. I just think, given that how he suits Richmond, I think he gets filthy rich if he goes to Richmond. You look at the other suitor, Sydney. Buddy retires.
Yeah.
What is he, 95% chance to retire? The defensive stuff. Is Paddy McCartan going to play another game of football?
That's the question everyone does.
Massive question mark. Dane Rampey's got a neck issue at the moment. He's going to play on, but, you know, again, we've seen how just modest they are as a football club when their forward line's not firing and when their defence is besieged. Logan McDonald's actually had a sneaky okay year. 15 goals, 5 of them against Hawthorn. But still, 15 goals for a 3 or 4 year, year player. So I think he's on track there, but Himmelberg can play alongside him. Second free agent, Mason Redmond. He said over the weekend, I think it was in SENSA, to get the attribution right. Look, I absolutely would think about Adelaide, but I'm probably going to stay at Essendon. But Adelaide's really keen, as we put on the record a while back. Essendon's got the money to pay him.
Yep.
So he's averaging 21 touches, 450 metres gained. He kicks it beautifully, 80% effectiveness, 6.6 intercept possessions, 4 goals. He sneaks down for goals, not often, but geez, he makes a lot of them, doesn't he?
He loves it too. He loves it.
So, you know, you look at Adelaide. Yeah, they'd pay him $750,000.
What would Essendon pay?
They'd have to match it, wouldn't they?
So he's going to get rich either way.
Yeah. So and what's increasingly happening now is that it used to be a 5-year deal for free agency. 6 years now. So all of a sudden, you know, 6 times 750, 6, 7, 42. So he could get $4.5 million. And then the other one's Darcy Parrish. Again, wants to stay at Essendon, doing all the right things, averaging 33.5 possessions, 480 metres gained. He's actually pressure's just average, but he's a really good two-way runner. Only the one goal. So if Darcy Parrish could start kicking goals, and I understand when you're a two-way runner that could be hard, but I mean that's something that Tim Tarando's been able to do. You know, I think he's a $850,000 player.
Does Essendon think that?
Well, Essendon will have to match a bid for him.
Yeah.
Again, their ladder position. What are they likely to be? Probably around 8th or 9th on the ladder. So would you lose Darcy Parrish for a pick 10? By the time a couple of compensation picks come in? Oh, I don't think so.
No.
I think you'd be desperate to match that pick.
So $850,000 is, though, a lot of money. But Essendon, and I think Jay Clark's mentioned on this show before, they do have the capacity.
Yeah, they've got $3 million in cap space. So I think right now Essendon keeps both of them, but they're probably going to have to pay maybe $2 million extra over the next 5 or 6 years than maybe they might have thought midway through last year when they're free agents. So they're the three free agents who, by form with Parrish, by position with Redmond, and Adelaide's as a suitor, for Harry Himmelberg, by the dint of Richmond and Sydney needing him, filthy rich.
Okay, so they're the three that are going well, they're going to get rich, closing in the mid-year break. Who are the two that probably aren't hitting their value at this stage?
Yeah, Tom DeConnick's not a free agent. He's a free agent in 2 years. So right now, there are clubs out there that will offer him cash, but I think Geelong and Carlton are saying he's a really nice player. He's a probably a 2 year at $600,000 a year player. That's pretty close to filthy rich, but
yeah,
it's
still pretty good.
But it's still affecting his value.
But it's not what the figures that were thrown around at the start of the year.
That's right. Now, potentially Sydney and St Kilda will offer them more, but they would have to really push. Now, the way we thought his season would go is that he's the dominant number one ruckman. He probably kicks 20 goals. If you're Sydney and St Kilda, you say, yeah, you know, he's a 7 year, $800,000 player for us. He might not be worth it in 2024, but by 2027, what an inspirational deal. We've given up pick one and a future third rounder. You know, how good are we? How prescient was that? Whereas right now, I think Geelong would say, we just can't afford to overpay him. So if he wants to go down the highway to be with his brother, it's probably 2 years at 600. So the pitch for Carlton is this. We get you through to free agency. It's amazing to think this is his sixth year, but you know, I think he's kicked 13 goals in 46 games. He's not a big goal kicker. He's not the number one ruckman right now. He's pretty ordinary and hit-outs to advantage. So get your $1.2 million. It's a lot of money. And then if you're worth it after free agency, either we pay you a mozza or someone else goes and pays you all those, then you get filthy rich.
Yeah, then.
So I mean, I think it's really intriguing. The issue with him and with Ben McKay is he's still got time. So Ben McKay finally kicked into gear on the weekend. 7 intercept marks, 10 intercept possessions against St Kilda. It's not too late for him to get that enormous sum. But right now, Carlton has gone cold on him. I think they very much were interested, but they're just saying, we can't pay a bloke who only plays 7 games a year. Port Adelaide's still keen. So would he leave Melbourne? You know, he may well still get that crazy deal. But I think if Port Adelaide saw him play the kind of All-Australian football they know he's capable of, someone might pay him 900 grand. But right now, he's not worth that. North Melbourne's still going to have to pay him a significant amount of money. So he's still going to get paid. But right now, he's affecting his value. He's below averaging kicks, metres gained, possessions, disposals, intercept possessions, and he's only average on one-on-one. So he's got 14 rounds to get filthy rich.
So with these two players, is there a Daniel McStay precedent when opposition clubs have zeroed in, they know exactly what they are, and even though the form might be dipping, they don't care because they think they can turn them around when they bring him into their environment? Do you think that's a possibility for both DeConnick and McKay?
Yeah, definitely. Especially if you're a club that's on the up.
Yeah.
So, I'm not saying that Essendon wants Mitch Georgiadis, but he's just done a knee. Now, Essendon's window of opportunity is probably, 25 to 27?
Yeah.
Still got a lot of young players, got a lot of development left in them. Whereas if you're, maybe a St Kilda who thinks now, maybe we can compete, they think we're interested in a Ben McKay type because, you know, we need his best football to be in the next 3 years. We think by 27 and 28 years of age, his body might be crumbling. So I just think it just depends whether you're right in the window and whether that player is young like a DeConnick or a Ben McKay whose next 3 years are really critical for his career.
Now, just lastly, one quickly that you want to put on the radar.
Yep.
Who, and you mentioned before, but who is the Mabior-Chole-style unrestricted free agent that's out there right now?
So a lot of people wouldn't realise that you can become a restricted free agent. That's 8 years of service, or unrestricted if you've come out of contract after that, 10 years of service. But if you are delisted by your football club and then you join another one, you immediately become an unrestricted free agent the next time you're out of contract. So Mason Wood, for me, is just someone who is 29 years of age, had an exceptional season, really consistent. I know everyone was talking about in the last, 3 weeks ago, but he's still been as good as he has been in the last fortnight. Would a club out there just say, we can just give him that Isaac Smith-style stint?
Mm.
So 3 years at, I don't know, what would it take to get him out of there? 500 grand?
That's a lot of money, though, for a winger, isn't it?
Well, a winger who can play forward, a winger who might have 3 really good years left in him. So I think that's the thing. Probably he just signs 2 years with a trigger for a third at, 380,000, put some best and fairest bonuses in there. You know, St Kilda plays hardball because he's just going to turn 30 in September. But they're the kind of things that, we just see. I mean, we see with Jaden Hunt right now. He's playing really good football at West Coast, isn't he?
But not at $500,000 a year.
No, not at all. But Mason Wood's a much better player than him. You know, he can be an elite wingman, up and back. He can kick goals.
There's definitely a winger's market. Like, you look at Lachie Hunter, Blake Acres, Jaden Hunt.
No doubt.
There has been the appetite for other clubs to chase.
So the thing is, right now, there'll be some clubs out there that say, he's going to be 30. But there'll be some other clubs who say, we've got significant cap space. What if we could just turn him into that Isaac Smith-style player? Just throwing up a few of those players with some of those free agency loopholes, create a little window in the market to try and just steal a player out And St Kilda might say, oh, we can't pay 1.5 for Mason Wood. But maybe someone out there who's been banking cap space for a couple of years might just think, oh, yeah, something to consider. So, look, you know, watch this space. I'm sure he'll stay. I'm sure he'll do it for the right reasons. But there are players out there with the asterisks on his name who, as free agents, will get rich, even if, you know, others might say they don't deserve that cash.
Nah, we like it. Always liking the ones to watch. Ralphie, thanks for joining us.
This is Brownies Podcast!
G'day, it's Jonathan Brown, the host of Brownies Podcast. Along with my boys Dino and Campbell Brown, we give you the world's loosest podcast.
Was Jesus well hung?
Tell you what, boys, never been prouder.
Your son loves Fast and the Furious, burning things, and he likes burning people.
You're only loud enough, dickhead, to hear you.
Oh! Ask your smart speaker to play Brownies Podcast or search for Brownies Podcast wherever you listen to your podcast.
Cheers.
Now we'll take a walk down Media Street as we like to do with Scott Gullen. Scott, thanks for joining us.
Will, great to be back.
Week off last week. Where'd you go?
Freshen up at Warrnambool, which was a testing couple of days.
Yeah, how was the weather?
Slightly cold, but a lot of the football industry was there, so it's a bit of a boys' trip and you run into a lot of people.
Yeah, and movers and shakers were there. You're obviously one of them, so you would have seen others.
Yes. No, there was a lot. I heard John Ralph was there. I didn't see him. But okay. No, there are lots of old school footy heads who do it every year and you see the same people tell the same stories. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Sounds riveting anyway.
It actually was.
Press conferences.
Yes.
Narratives. Answering questions. Carlton hasn't had a great time the last week.
Correct.
Brian Cook on Friday night asked about finals. He said it wasn't the end of the world if Carlton didn't make it, to quote. Adam Chera on Monday said it wouldn't be a failure when directly asked about whether it'd be a failure if they didn't make finals. What's your view on this whole issue?
Well, yeah, to understand, I mean, Brian Cook, I can give a minor leave pass because I think he was talking more holistically. The club's in great condition, yep. Million members, flying, and he's trying to avoid if Voss doesn't make finals, you know, his job's in trouble. I get what the CEO's trying to do. But when Adam Chera is preaching clearly the narrative that's drummed into him, which you got to understand, Carlton fans aren't dills. So it's round eight. They're still in the eight. But the messaging shouldn't be, oh, if we grow as a group, we might improve. But we if it doesn't mean we make the eight, we're happy. No, mate. Sorry. And they should be told. And this, you know, clubs try and spin narratives all the time. So this is why we can talk like
exactly.
It is spin.
It is all spin.
Because A, they're reticent to put players out there for, oh my Lord, they might tell the truth.
And it's incredible, and no offence to Carlton, but they have probably sheltered a lot of their players.
Of course they have.
Individual interviews, they're not open with them.
They are in the gun. They're in the media street gun. We might be loading a few bullets in that respect There's some clubs who are creeping into no talkies after a loss.
No talkies.
Or one player all in print media, which, I'm sorry, is just in this day and age where you have the CEO in our office a couple of weeks ago going, oh, we just want clubs to be more open. Like, those clubs are getting worse. So, and Carlton are right at the point of it. I'm sorry.
So it was interesting, though, that they put Chera up.
Chera up on a Monday. And he was asked, and if you haven't seen it, he basically said, as long as there's connection and growth in the group, if we don't make it, it's not a failure. Mate, your fans, you were in the eight all last year except the last round.
Yep.
You've got the Brownlow medalists, you've got the two Coleman medalists, you've built this list, you haven't played finals for 11 years, you've got 89,000 members. You need to say, in May, you can change it in August, but May, of course we want to play finals. We think we will. We're working towards it. Anything else is irrelevant. Yeah, we want to play final.
Do you think that causes a headline the other way? Is that what he's thinking?
No, what would we write? I put our Juno hat back on.
Yeah.
Adam Chera said, yeah, we're still, Blues want finals. Well, they're eighth.
Yeah, of course.
We're not going to criticise him for saying that.
And
he's not saying we're going to win the flag.
No.
He's not saying if we don't make finals, the world ends. But you don't hedge your bets.
Don't give us an out.
No, don't veer into this, oh, no, it could be okay. Because even though it wasn't really a throwaway line, but it opens the window to what they're thinking. And it does. Because Patrick Cripps started this narrative before the start of the season.
Yeah.
And it was okay then, sort of okay. You don't want a March headline saying we have to win the flag to be successful. But there are ways of answering. There's ways of saying to your, because you're talking to your members. This is where clubs get it wrong.
Yeah.
This, we're the conduit.
Yeah, exactly.
So they want to hear, Adam Chera, you lost again, disappointing. What do you think? No, no, we're on track. We're fine. We're going to find our form. We will make the finals. Well, that's what we want to do. Coach, everyone wants to make the finals.
And that's what the fans are saying as well. They're not saying what Adam said yesterday.
No, they're not saying, oh, well, they're already, it shows his head's already in, oh, well, if this actually doesn't go well, what are we going to say? If you get to August and you're 10th and you're a game out, yeah, you got to rethink things. But right now, like, I've had Carlton fans rigging me going, that's great. That's exactly what we think. Why are they veering into this? Oh, hang on. It might still be a good year even if we finish ninth.
And you're speaking about your piece, of course, because you did give Adam a rev up in Tuesday's Herald Sun.
No, we just pointed out that, and I don't think it's all Adam's fault. No, like, he's just preaching what he's been told to preach, and it's wrong.
Yeah.
Clubs, and there's so many clubs who don't get it, and coaches.
I like
will try and control stuff too much. You got to think what the fans want to hear.
We're going to flesh that out next week, I reckon.
I think
the other could, clubs. The now, other just clubs. Quickly, Media Street, you're back 12 p.m. Wednesday. Do you have anything yet? Are you still going to make a few calls?
There was a run in between a media person and a high profile football person. Okay. They might get a run. I've got to see. And there are some clubs handling things, could be in the gun. There's a few balls in the air.
And as always, our listeners, if you do have a tip to Scotty, please. Direct DM and Instagram, Twitter, he's on all the platforms.
You'll find me. There's enough ways to find me.
Well, Scott, thank you again, and I'll see you next week.
Look forward to it.
Well, that's all for today's show. I'm your host, Will Hogan, and thanks to our guests, John Ralph and Scott Gullen. And as always, head to the Herald Sun website for all our football coverage throughout the week and the must-read opinions on Sunday and Monday in our tackles.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Granger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.